Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. President Biden has landed here in the Badger State. It looks like he's about to start speaking, actually on time, which rarely happens for any campaign visit for any candidate. But this is actually him speaking on behalf of the White House today. So maybe that's the big difference. He's going to be talking about his Investing in America agenda. We'll head to him now.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, Wisconsin. First time I was here was about 180 years ago with William Proxmire, and I was a 31-year-old senator. I'm only 40 now, but, you know, please have a seat if you have one. It's great to be back. Before I begin, with your permission, I'd like to say a few words about the school shooting yesterday in Winder County, Georgia. You know, my wife Jill and I are mourning those four gunned down two students and two teachers. I'm wounded and hospitalized nine others. I'm sure you are as well. You know, students, just young teenagers, educators, just doing their jobs. A community like so many around the country, just getting back to school. And a joyous and exciting time, absolutely shattered, shattered. I directed my team to immediately ensure that we're doing everything we can to provide support. The Department of Justice and the FBI are working closely with the state and local law enforcement investigating this. We have a lot of information, not all of it. We're grateful the school personnel and first responders who proved and prevented more people from being killed or injured and brought the suspect to custody. But as a nation, we cannot continue to accept the carnage of gun violence. I'm a gun owner. I believe strongly in the amendment. We need more thought, more than thoughts and prayers. Some of my Republican friends in Congress just finally have to say enough is enough. We have to do something. Together, let's ban assault weapons. My dad is a hunter. I don't know a whole hell of a lot of deer wearing Kevlar vests. I'm serious about this. High-capacity magazines, once again, what do we need them for in terms of domestic use? There are too many people who are able to access guns that shouldn't be able to. So let's require safe storage of firearms. I know I have mine locked up, but how could you have an assault rifle, a weapon in a house, not locked up, and knowing your kid knows where it is? You've got to hold parents accountable if they let their child have access to these guns. Let's enact universal background checks, and then immunity for gun manufacturers. And I realize I'm in a rural area like the rural parts of my state where guns, we all have them. And it's not popular to talk about it, but the truth is, there's a difference between rational and irrational. Imagine, you know, the only outfit in the world that we can't sue, and by law, passed by law, are gun manufacturers. How about if that was the case of big tobacco? What do you think would happen? If we're not able to have sued tobacco, how many more people would be dead now, but for the ability to change the law? Folks, common sense measures supported by responsible gun owners. You know, it won't bring back those children, but thousands of children have been gunned down across. You know, more children are killed or die from a gunshot wound than any other reason in the entire United States. Every disease, every accident, everything. More die as a consequence of a bullet in the United States of America. But they'll help save lives if we do the things we're talking about and prevent communities from being ripped apart again. We can do it if we do it together, and I really think we can. So I just wanted to say that before we began. And now to our event today. Thank you, Darren, for that introduction and for sharing your story as a family farmer. And thank you to one of America's best, I say one of the three best governors in the entire United States of America. Where is it? There he is. Tony, you're the best, pal. When I think of Tony Evers, I mean this sincerely, one word comes to mind, integrity. Integrity. And sitting next to him is a former governor, not far from here, from Iowa, named Tom Vilsack, and his wife, Christy. Christy, you're the, yeah, there you are. She's smarter than he is. Just like Jill's smarter than I am. But Tom's doing a hell of a job as Secretary of Agriculture. And thanks to all the local elected labor and community leaders that are here. And a special thanks to Brent Ridge, CEO of Dairyland Power Cooperative, for hosting us today. You know, I come from the state of Delaware. Everybody thinks it's an eastern industrial state. Our largest industry in Delaware, and I served as senator there for 36 years. I know I don't look that old, but I am. For 36 years, is agriculture. It's a $4 billion enterprise in the Delmarva Peninsula. And its co-ops made it happen. But millions of Americans rely on co-ops like yours for electricity every single day, and it matters. In June of 2021, 5 months after I came to office, I went to nearby La Crosse, Wisconsin. It was the 65th anniversary of President Eisenhower signing the bill that created the interstate highway system. I talked about my vision to do something just as historic, to invest in infrastructure and clean energy and so much more in rural America, to invest in all America and all Americans, to propel us into the future, creating millions, and I mean millions of good-paying jobs, and positioning America to win the economic competition of the 21st century. And I'm backed again today to begin a series of trips and events showing that progress we've made together by our Investing in America agenda, an agenda that has come to fruition over the last decade. Invest in America. Invest in American workers. Here in Westby, you know, I'm proud to announce that through my investments, the most significant climate change law ever. And by the way, it is a $369 billion bill. It's called the we should have named it what it was, but at any rate, the Department of Agriculture is able, from that legislation, to announce $7.3 billion in grants to 16 electrical co-ops nationwide to help rural communities transition to clean, affordable, reliable energy. It's the most significant transformative investment in electricity and electrification and clean energy for rural America since FDR's New Deal nearly 90 years ago. And that's not hype, that's a fact. And it includes Dairyland Power Cooperative that will receive $580 million to develop and purchase solar power, wind power, energy storage right here in Wisconsin and all across the Midwest. And here's why it's a game changer. Before the New Deal, private companies refused to provide affordable electricity to rural communities. As a result, 1 in 10 rural households, only 1 in 10, had electricity before FDR came to power. So farmers had to organize electric co-ops to distribute electricity to their families and their communities. With help from the New Deal, there are now more than 800 rural electric co-ops to provide electricity for 40 million Americans in 48 states. But key challenges, they've overcome them, but they're still, the co-ops are still nonprofits. They don't have the same resources that private utility companies have to modernize their energy infrastructure. And for decades, they couldn't access tax credits and make clean energy more affordable. That's why Kamala and I ensured that for the first time in American history, that these nonprofit co-ops can benefit from clean energy tax credits, just like for-profit utilities have for decades. We also created new tools for co-ops to refinance prior debts so those they can go out there and not be held back from investing in their future. Today's historic announcement of $7.3 billion for rural electric co-ops builds on those steps. It means clean, affordable electricity for over 5 million rural households and businesses across 23 states. It means 20,000 jobs, good-paying, high-quality jobs, including union jobs, so rural America is empowered to lead our clean energy future. It means covering the upfront cost of clean energy so rural families can save on their energy bills and get just a little more breathing room at the end of the month. And it means rural entrepreneurs and manufacturers who are so fundamental to our economy are powered with reliable, affordable energy, and they can create more job opportunities in their communities. And guess what? It's also good for the environment as well. Because of our historic actions, we're going to reduce by 43 million tons greenhouse gas pollution every single year as a consequence of these investments. That is the equivalent of removing pollution from more than 10 million gas-powered vehicles. 10 million. It's going to save $265 billion in healthcare costs because of better, cleaner quality of air. People aren't breathing polluted air and getting sick. That comes from the NIH. It matters, folks. You know it. And, folks, I've kept my commitment to be president for all America and all Americans, including rural America. Your communities are the backbone, and that's not hyperbole. You're the backbone of this country. You deserve the same resources as folks in our cities and our suburbs. And that's what today's announcement is all about, generating rural power for rural America. But that's not all. Last year, I was next door with your good neighbor, Governor Waltz of Minnesota. I think the guy's gone places. Baby. I talked about we're making the most fundamental and significant investment ever in rural America, creating new and better markets, new income streams that are generators of rural America that can grow and thrive. For example, we're taking on big corporations and doing everything from increasing competition in the meat markets to boosting domestic fertilizer production. In fact, here in Wisconsin, that means $12 million to lower fertilizer costs for farmers across the state, which also creates jobs and grows new businesses. Here in Wisconsin, we also invested $47 million to lower energy costs, install renewable and energy-efficient technologies like solar panels behind me on farms and rural small businesses. Darren just shared how that's cut his family electricity bill in half. We're helping farmers and ranchers and entrepreneurs tackle the climate crisis, climate-smart agriculture, such as cover crops, nutrient management, storing carbon in the soil. These practices reduce the greenhouse gas emissions and improve overall health of the soil and the water. They put us on a path to continuing to grow the food, the fuel, the fiber that will power our nation for decades to come. Through our bipartisan infrastructure law, it's a fancy way of saying that $366 billion for environment, most significant investment in America's infrastructure. And what the infrastructure bill, by the way, the bipartisan bill, that was $1,200,000,000,000. And guess what? We're still lowering the deficit. Anyway, the most significant investment in America since Eisenhower's interstate highway system. We've invested $4 billion so far in 350 projects to modernize Wisconsin transportation. Just in Wisconsin, that's been invested. Infrastructure, going to be three roundabouts on Route 14, U.S. 14, and a new bridge on County Highway M. Folks, look, just like we're making the most significant investment in rural electrification, FDR, we're also making the most significant investment ever in affordable high-speed internet. Because affordable high-speed internet is just as essential today as electricity was a century ago. In order to be able to do business, and when things are shut down, your kid doesn't have to sit outside of McDonald's. And anyway, that's why we've invested $1.6 billion just in Wisconsin to connect everyone to affordable high-speed internet in Wisconsin. And since I took office, 72,000 more Wisconsin homes and small businesses have access to high-speed internet for the first time ever. We're going to keep it going. We've also invested $200 million to replace lead pipes across the state so a kid can drink clean water without worrying about brain damage and changing their schools as well. We've launched the Rural Partners Network, putting new federal staff on the ground to help communities access federal resources. Let them know what they are, where to go, how to get it, because it's complicated. So I want people on site being able to tell people how they qualify, how they apply, how they get it done. And after years of importing 90% of our semiconductor chips, which I might add, America invented. We invented the computer chip. It's needed for everything from automobile engines to weapons. We passed the Chips and Science Act, has led private companies from around the world to come back. We used to have 40% of the market not too many years ago. And now we've got down to basically zero. Invest, and so around from countries around, I travel from everywhere from North Korea, anyway, South Korea, to across the world to get these computer chip factories to come. I asked when we convinced one of the companies in South Korea to invest building these chips in America. I said, why would you do it? And they're investing several billion dollars. He said, because you have the finest, you have the most advanced workers in the world, and it's the safest place in the world to invest. Well, our Chips and Science Act has led private companies from around the world to invest hundreds of billions of dollars in new chips and battery factories, and more of them right here in America. With the leadership of your governor, you've already added 200,000 new jobs and attracted over $5 billion in Wisconsin in private sector investment in clean energy and advanced manufacturing. In fact, this spring, I was with your governor, Racine, where Microsoft announced a $3 billion investment, $3 billion investment to build a data center to help operate one of the most powerful artificial intelligence systems in the entire world. It's going to create thousands of good-paying jobs on site and across the state, creating even more opportunities in rural communities. Let's remember, my predecessor promised you that he would redevelop Foxconn factory in Racine. You been there lately? He didn't do a damn thing. Nothing. Folks, all these investments means family farms can stay in the family. Rural entrepreneurs can build their dreams. Your children and grandchildren won't have to leave home to make a living. I don't know how many of you have been confronted growing up, where everything's going well and the son or daughter comes to mom or dad and said, I can't stay. There's not work for me here. I got to leave. That's stopping now. Because we're spreading opportunities to benefit everyone. Building the future where no one is left behind. Growing an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down. Because when you do that, everybody does well. Everybody does well. When it comes, my dad used to have an expression, Joey, a job's about a, my dad was a hardworking guy. Didn't go to college, railroad guy because of World War II. Anyway, he worked like hell. He always come home to dinner before he go back and close the shop. And my dad used to say, Joey, a job's about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity. It's about respect. It's about being treated with respect. And it's about knowing you can look your kid in the eye and say, honey, it's going to be okay. You're not going to have to leave home to get a job. That's in stark contrast to my predecessor. When he was in office, he enacted a $2 trillion tax cut, $2 trillion tax cut that overwhelmingly benefited the very wealthy, the biggest corporations, and drove up federal deficit every single year of his presidency. He left office with the largest annual deficit in American history, $3 trillion. And by the way, I made a commitment when I got elected, and my vice president made a similar commitment. No one making under $400,000 will see a single penny in their taxes raised, not a single penny. Neighborhood I come from in Claymont, Delaware, and Scranton, Pennsylvania, say, well, that's too damn much. But the point is to make sure that we know it's not a, this isn't an attack on the wealthy. He left us with a pandemic raging and economy reeling. His allies in Congress, with all due respect, I've had this conversation with your Senator Ron Johnson, voted against every one of the things I talked about today. Every single thing I talked about in terms of rural economy, he voted against it. Voted against it. It's hard to imagine your Senator voting against interest in a rural state was so large and so consequential as the state of Wisconsin. Meanwhile, Your other senator, Tammy Baldwin, has done everything to take care of the state so she can be devoted to. Vice President Kamala Harris fought like hell for all of you and for the future worthy of your aspirations. Look, just think about how far we've come. We have more to go. We have more to go. Too many people are still in trouble. But nearly 4 years that we've been president and vice president, with one of those extraordinary periods of progress in American history. COVID no longer controls our lives. We've gone from an economic crisis to the strongest economy in the world. Let me say it again. We have the strongest economy in the world, and no one challenged it. We got more to do. We're seeing something else. In thousands of cities and towns across the country and across Wisconsin, we're seeing the great American comeback story. The way I see it, and I talked to the other team, talks about how bad off we are and how America's in trouble. The way I see it, today's announcement is about far more than just giving rural America the power to turn on the lights. It's about giving the power to shape our own future. In fact, Wisconsin has a strong, strong history of neighbor helping neighbor and forming cooperatives, which are literally owned and powered by the people of Wisconsin. Because of you, we're planting seeds today that grow and blossom for generations to come. That's what we're seeing here in Wisconsin, a state with a proud tradition of rural communities leading our nation forward. And again, that's not an exaggeration. You've been a leader in the nation. Let me close with this. As I travel this state and the country, hope you feel what I feel. Pride. Pride in our hometowns. Pride in making a comeback. Pride in America. Pride in knowing we can get big things done when we work together. Folks, I've never been more optimistic about our nation's future. Just have to remember who the hell we are. We're the United States of America. That's who we are. Not a joke. We're the only nation in the world that's come through every crisis stronger than we went into that crisis. Because we're a hard-working, optimistic people, decent people. We know from experience that there's nothing, nothing beyond our capacity when we work together. And again, that's not an exaggeration. We work together. I remember the days when I first got started, when a lot of Republican senators, my close friends, we worked together, we compromised. We didn't talk about things as if it was a dire moment, that democracy was at stake. We actually worked together. We fought like hell, but we worked together. We got to return that for our children, because our democracy depends on it. I'm keeping you too long in the sun, so let me just say, God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you.
There you have it. President Joe Biden here in Westby. That's in Vernon County, a really rural part of Vernon County, maybe only about 3,000 people, under 3,000 people that live there. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Luke Mathers is here with me, and we have Terry Bell there on site in Vernon County. The big focus of his announcement today was his Investing in America agenda, and this is basically part of the Inflation Reduction Act. However, this is all based on the Energizing Rural America program, which is all under this big umbrella bill and law that was eventually signed and really got some bipartisan support on the way out. So let's talk about what this is going to do here in Wisconsin. So $7.3 billion is going to these co-ops. There are 16 of them throughout 23 different states. There's one of them that serves us here in Wisconsin. And that one here in Wisconsin is getting about $580 million to be able to lower energy rates for the people of Wisconsin, especially in these rural areas, which should make just about everything a little cheaper, according to the Biden administration. What stood out to you here, Luke?
What stood out here to me, Savannah, is it feels very much like the and then we got the on-site team there honking the horn a little bit.
They're there for real.
Yes, they are there. The folks there on the ground. But this very much felt like a little bit of a kind of combined victory lap for the Biden and Harris administration, as well as something that you may have heard on a campaign stump speech just a few weeks ago, but instead coming to us as an official White House visit with President Biden touching down here in Wisconsin today to highlight some of the success from the transformative legislation that he and his administration oversaw and is going to make a pretty big difference for the rural community there in Westby and the surrounding area to be able to have more affordable electricity options coming to those communities. And as the president and the White House have pointed out, a number of different effects coming from that. The amount of greenhouse gas removed or prevented from going into the atmosphere, 43 million tons per year, thanks to this investment that is coming through the bipartisan infrastructure legislation. So it's going to be pretty telling, the trickle-down effect that an investment like this, as the president kept referring it to, as will have on these communities.
Well, and a big part of that, too, is the investment in broadband. We all remember the stories from the pandemic when there were kids, especially in rural areas, who were sitting outside their local McDonald's, sitting outside their public library, just to be able to get signal to be able to participate in school. It was a crisis before the pandemic, but we really saw just how it impacts people every day across different parts of the state, but especially the rural parts of the state. Our news director, Terry Bell, is there in Westby. Terry, what did you take away from his speech there?
Well, this is the fact, as you mentioned, how significant Dairyland Power is, and this program, $7.3 billion for renewable energy for these cooperatives like Dairyland Cooperatives, which is a pretty significant cooperative. It provides wholesale electrical services to 24 distribution cooperatives and 27 municipal utilities in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Illinois. Renewable energy at this point makes up about 20% of Dairyland Power Cooperative's overall power generation portfolio. You could expect that to increase. No accident, of course, that the backdrop, if anybody was watching on streaming, the backdrop behind the president, solar panels here at Dairyland Cooperative. So clearly the message being driven home.
Well, they're actually going to be able to build so much more with this money. They're going to be able to do 4 new solar projects and 4 new wind energy projects just with this money from this grant. On top of that, too, what's really going to be important here in the rural part of Wisconsin is that internet access. There are so many people who tell me when I would go to different portions of the state that, man, I would love to be able to stream a movie and not have to load it and buffer it for 20 minutes beforehand. It really is a great equalizer at this point and something everybody should have access to.
And as the president mentioned, Savannah, you know, right now, you know, making internet widely available is just as key to, you know, us to our lifestyles as electricity was during the Great Depression and the era of the New Deal.
Just out of curiosity, Terry, how's your internet access been out there in Westby?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because at events like this, things are not so great. Like any big event, there is no Wi-Fi here and whatever is. But we're out in a sparse area where Wi-Fi is not a consideration. Of course, there are, you know, if you're a customer here, you would have internet, but in that not being the case, we were reliant on Wi-Fi here, which, you know, obviously not a great signal.
Makes sense when we're all the way out there, but really just drives home the entire point that President Biden is here talking about. He's really touting the three main pieces, I think, that are going to be part of his legacy in office. And that's the American Rescue Plan Act, the big one that was passed during COVID, which gave Wisconsin $2.5 billion. We have the Inflation Reduction Act, and that's the umbrella that this is under. And then the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, which will end up creating thousands upon thousands of jobs here in Wisconsin within the next 15 years. Luke, what else stands out to you?
Yeah, I don't think it's a mistake that of the several dozen co-ops that will be benefiting from programs like this, that the White House happened to find a co-op that is smack dab in the center of the political universe, which here in Wisconsin, that is the 3rd congressional district. So we know that this is one of the most highly contested congressional districts that will be on the the map for not just here in Wisconsin, but around the country. It is a district that is currently being represented by freshman Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden, who won the seat in 2022 and is up against a competitor in Rebecca Cook, who ran in 2022 as well, but she secured the Democratic nomination for that seat this year, just last month, and it's going to be a very interesting race. The voters in the 3rd Congressional District are seeing not just those congressional ads, they're seeing an increased focus from the U.S. Senate candidates here in Wisconsin, as well as the top of the ticket with the president, who was the former Democratic nominee for this 2024 cycle, but his administration, the Biden-Harris administration, clearly making a focus with this visit on one of those couple dozen co-ops that resides as a beneficiary of a program like this, but is very, very contested on the political map this cycle.
We were just talking about it before we came on the air. There are no coincidences in politics when it comes to geography like this. I think we're going to wrap up here after hearing from President Biden. And remember, we'll have some special coverage Tuesday night for the presidential debate. You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.